I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to John, the 12th chapter. We're going to begin reading in verse 23. In your pew Bible, it'll be page 875. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 23. Let's stand together as we read from God's Word. John chapter 12, beginning in, actually we're going to begin in verse 20 rather than verse 23. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival, let's read together. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Thank you so much. God bless you. You know, in the time frame of Jesus' life, it is less than a week before he will be betrayed, and then his trial, and then his crucifixion. From a human point of view, this seemed to be an ideal time for Jesus to take the first step in setting up an earthly kingdom. It seemed to be all the events came together at just the right time. He has spent the day at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Mary and Martha have thrown a great party to celebrate the resurrection of their brother Lazarus. Jesus is honored and received. Later, he leaves that party and he goes into the city of Jerusalem for what we call Palm Sunday. And it is there that he hears the cries of "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord." As this procession winds its way to Jerusalem, the Pharisees are recorded by John in chapter 12, verse 19, of saying this, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." Now a delegation of Jewish Greeks send word that they want to see Jesus. These are influential, wealthy men. These are men of power. These are men of prestige. These are men who are independently wealthy. These are men who can fund Jesus' ministry. These are men who can give it a sense of legitimacy. These are men who know the right people. You know that old saying about it's not what you know, it's who you know. These were the people to know. And so they send word to Jesus, "We want an audience with you." It's the break that the disciples were looking for. This is now an opportunity to legitimize the ministry of Jesus. But from what we read today, Jesus was not interested in meeting with the Greeks. In fact, he never sent word back to them, "Yes, I'll meet with you," or "No, I will not." He never responded to the request of, "We want to see Jesus." Instead, Jesus begins to talk about his death. He begins by saying, "Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit." He talks about the love of the Father. And then he leads into something that seems to be weighing heavily upon him, the cross. Verse 27, he says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? What should I say?" And Jesus realizes he's facing two options. The one option bypasses the cross. The one option takes him to wealth. The one option takes him to legitimacy. The one option takes him to recognition. The one option is where his flesh wants to go. But he also realizes there is another option. And that option leads to the Garden of Gethsemane. That option will lead to him being betrayed. That option will lead to him being beaten. That option will lead to him being mocked and spat upon. That option will lead him to the cross. So he says, "What should I say?" And then he answers his own question. Should I say, "Father, save me from this hour. Father, let me go down this pathway. Don't make me go down that pathway. Let me go this way. You see, all the pieces are in place. I can bypass the cross. Should I say, Father, save me from this hour?" And facing those two roads, Jesus then says, "No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." It's obvious that in his heart, in his mind, his will and his emotions are ticking very loudly. And his emotions are attempting to pull him away from the cross. This word that Jesus used, troubled, it means in the Greek, it means to take a stick in water and muddy the water up. In other words, what he's saying is, there's an event in my life that is muddying the water and I can't see clearly right now. Everything is murky. I see this pull over here that is drawing me to legitimacy and drawing me to be recognized by men. But then there's another pull over here that is God's will for my life, God's plan for my life, God's purpose for my life. And right now, the waters are being stirred up, and it's difficult for me to see which way to go. There's a part of me that wants to go this way. But there's a part of me that keeps saying, "No, you have to go this way." My mind, my will, my emotions, my body is saying, "No, go this way." But the Father is saying, "No, go this way." The waters are stirred up. The waters are troubled. He's facing intense suffering. He knows if he goes down this road is going to lead to pain. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, Isaiah prophesied about this, and he says this, "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting." Then later in chapter 53, as Isaiah continues this prophecy about Jesus, he said, "He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed." That was what Isaiah said Jesus was going to face. But before he got to the cross, there was the Garden of Gethsemane he was going to have to endure. And Luke tells us about what he went through there in verse 44 of chapter 22. "In his anguish, Jesus prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground." The waters are stirred up. The path is not clear. Jesus knows what Isaiah prophesied about him. Jesus knows that he is just a few days from this Garden of Gethsemane experience where the disciples are going to go to sleep and Jesus is going to be alone wrestling with, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." It's the question of the hour. What should I say? "Father, save me from this hour." Have you ever wrestled with God? where it seems like if you could just go this way, life would be better. If you could just go this way. But there's something in your heart that keeps pulling you to go this way. And the waters seem to be troubled. And Jesus is at that place, and he's asking the questions that we all ask. And the question that Jesus, that is coming out of his emotions, is this: Father, can you save me from this hour? Is there any way to bypass the cross? Is there any way that your work, your will, can be accomplished without me dying on the cross? It was what he prayed in Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 37, where he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, and it says he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. And he said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. Jesus understood that God the Father could save him from the cross. Jesus understood that God the Father could save Jesus from having to die on that cross. Jesus said this in verse 53 of Matthew 26. Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus knew that he could bypass the Father's will. John chapter 13, verses 27 and 28, Jesus says it again. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. He answered his own question. He asked the question, what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? And then Jesus answers his own question. He faces those two pathways. This pathway leads him to an audience with the Greeks. This pathway leads him to financial security. This pathway leads him to legitimacy. This pathway leads him into what his disciples want. This pathway will lead him to the disciples forsaking him. This pathway will lead him to betrayal. This pathway is going to lead him to pain. This pathway is going to lead him to death. And yet, standing there at those two pathways, Jesus answers his own question. He says, no. It is for this reason, it's for this road, it's for this path that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. You know, we may come back to this passage one day, but I believe that this point, this place where Jesus stood, is the most difficult place for any man or woman to stand. It's when you stand at that place between what you want and what God is doing. And you have to decide, which way am I going to go? A lot of people come to that path and they don't like what's going on to their life, and so they go this way. They turn their back on the church. They turn their back on the family of God. They turn their back on the things they know that are right, because this pathway seems to be the appealing, easy pathway to go. This pathway is not easy. This pathway causes you to have to say to people, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm sorry, I'm not going there. I'm sorry, I've made a decision. This is the way I'm going to live my life. This is not the easy pathway. This is the pathway where you're struggling with what's going on in your life, and you say, God, where are you at? Do you even care? Why are you letting this happen to me? And this pathway over here is pulling you, saying, you know, God shouldn't be doing this. You're a good person. There, you know, your life, you shouldn't have to be going through this. And this pathway is pulling you. And this pathway is saying, God, I don't understand it, but I've got to make a decision. Either your will or my will, your way or my way, your plan or my plan. And that is the path where every one of us in our lives come to at various times in our lives, where this pathway is pulling us. And this pathway isn't necessarily pulling you. This pathway is just saying, you know this is the way. You have to make the decision, but you know this is the way. And Jesus came to that pathway, and he said, no, it is for this reason that I came into this world. Father, glorify your name. And that is so difficult for us to say, Father, glorify your name. Not my will, Lord, your will. No matter the cost, Father, glorify your name. No matter how painful it may be for me, glorify your name. No matter what others may say or think about my choice, Father, glorify your name. This is the path of the cross. But there was a reason Jesus came back to that point. It's because he realized it was for this reason he was created. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Do you think Joseph maybe was standing at that pathway? This way, just send her away. Nobody will know about it. You can just explain to people that you and Mary broke up and she moved to another town. This pathway, though, is going to mean a lot of people snickering and laughing and mocking. A lot of people telling lies about you. A lot of people saying things about you and Mary that aren't true, and you're not going to have the opportunity to defend yourself. Joseph was standing at that pathway. An angel said to Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you're to name him Jesus. And listen to what the angel said, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph, this is the path you have to choose. You were designed, you were created to walk this pathway, Joseph. Because if you don't go this pathway, Joseph, it all is, right now is hinging on you, Joseph. Because Jesus is going to be born, and he's going to be born to save his people from their sins. Jesus said this of himself in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. John chapter 3, verse 17, as Jesus sits with Nicodemus, Jesus says to him, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus knew the reason. And Jesus stands there just a few days from the cross, and he realizes there are two choices. I'm facing two choices. This choice would be the easy way to go. This choice will give my flesh all it desires. This choice will make my disciples happy. This choice will lead to them slapping me on the back and high-fiving me and saying, Jesus, man, this is what it's all about. We now have money. We now have prestige. We're now accepted. We've got the Jewish Greeks who are behind us. Jesus, this is going to lead us to the throne. This is going to lead you to the cross. This is going to lead you to saying, where are my disciples? This is the lonely path. This is the path that only you and God can walk. You can't even hardly, no one, your closest friend, your closest companion can't fully walk this path with you because this path was designed for you and God only. And they may walk as close to you as they can and they may say, I'm right there with you, but there are times in this path where it's just you and God. Jesus had to come back to the reason. He stated it so clearly in John chapter 10, verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. His human emotions had been stirred up, troubled by what he was facing. But when it came down to it, when it got down to the final choice, which way are you going to go? Jesus came back to the reason. It was for this reason, he said, that I came into the world. Every one of you, every one of us, we were created and designed by God and put here on earth with a reason. With a reason. And we spend our entire lives sometimes trying to find the reason, and some people never find it. They think the reason was to make a lot of money, the reason was to have a lot of fun, the reason was to do what you want to do, to live the way you want to live, to, you know, just live it up. That's the reason. Solomon thought that was true himself. And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon came to the conclusion where he says it is all vanity. You were designed with a reason. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, he said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Wherever you're at today, whatever you're facing, whatever's going on in your life, at some time during your life, and probably several times during your life, you'll come to a junction. And there's one road going off this way. And this road seems to be the road that's pulling you. This is the road that appeals to all of your flesh. But then there's one other road. Jesus put it this way: broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leads to destruction. But narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to eternal life. If you go down this road, if you go down this path, you don't go down this path because you want to. You go down this path because you understand the reason for your life, the reason for my life, the purpose of my life, the reason for me breathing is that the Father might be glorified in my life. That's the reason. That's why you and I were created, that the Father might be glorified in our lives. And that's what Jesus came back to. When he came to that intersection in his life, he said, "Should I say, Father, deliver me from this hour?" But he leaned back into the reason for his being, and he said, "No, it is for this reason that I came. Father, glorify your name." That, Jesus said, was the reason. Father, glorify your name. And for every one of us here this morning, that is the reason for our life. Father, glorify your name. We used to sing, not here, but I can remember singing a song. And the song was very easy. The words were very easy. It just said, "In my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Today." That's the reason. Father, I want to thank you for your Son Jesus. And I want to thank you, Lord, that he gave us a snapshot. He gave us a photo. He gave us a picture of what it is like for a man to wrestle with his reason. To look at his life and say, "What is my reason? What is my purpose?" And Father, Jesus settled it for us. When he stood and his emotions were pulling him one way, and yet your plan for him was another way. And he said, "It was for this reason that I came to the earth. Father, glorify your name." Father, you see where we are, each of us individually. You see, Father, how many times we face that intersection where one path pulls us and another path beckons us. One path looks so good, the other path looks so dark. One path looks like it is filled with laughter and fun. The other path looks like it could hold pain and sorrow. And we have to come back to, why was I born? What is my reason? And we come back to that foundational reason that is in all of our lives, that we were born with purpose and destiny, and that purpose and destiny is to glorify the Father. As we come today to this altar, as we come and take the elements, the bread and the cup that represent the broken body and the shed blood of your Son Jesus, may we be reminded today of our reason for being. That our reason is the same reason that Jesus had, to glorify the Father. Let this altar today be a place of decision. May we leave from this altar, Father, with strong backbones. May we leave here, Father, with strong resolution that the Father would be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name.